Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and whether this is the first time you've tuned in or if you're a regular listener, welcome. This week we launch our theme for 2021, Go Make Disciples. And I've been really looking forward to sharing this message with you for quite a while now, and hope that you're encouraged and inspired by it. Go Make Disciples. This is our theme for 2021. These are words that come from Matthew chapter 28. If you have your Bible with you and want to turn there, starting in verse 16, perhaps you've heard them before. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And as we launch this theme at the beginning of this year, I'd like to do a few things this morning. I'd like to paint a picture of what I believe this could look like for us. I want to make a personal commitment to you and ask for a personal commitment back. And I would also like to remind you of two really significant fundamental components of these words, go and make disciples. And I want to begin by reminding you about a couple of really significant truths. As we have a look at these verses, notice that they are the last thing Matthew says. These are the foundational commands. This is the foundational commission for everything that is to follow. And I find it fascinating that this is where Matthew ends. These are his last words. Because by the time that Matthew was writing his gospel, the early church had exploded. It had grown exponentially across the Roman Empire. There were communities of faith in nearly every city in the Roman world by that point in time. There were Christians all over the place. And there were lots of things that they were grappling with. They were grappling with the ethnic and cultural challenges of bringing Gentile believers into a primarily Jewish faith. They were grappling with questions of how to organize themselves. They were dealing with questions of authority. Who was able to say what was right and what was wrong and who was in and who was out? All of these kinds of questions, false teaching was beginning to bubble up. All of this. And yet Matthew basically ignores all of that and instead focuses on the central commission for all the followers of Jesus. Go, make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, not just Jews, not just people like yourself, but of all nations. Baptize them as a symbol of the change and transformation in their lives in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded and do it in the assurance that Jesus is always present with us. This is the foundational command for the church. In every age, in every era, in any place in the world. And it's foundational for us. It's no surprise, I would hope, for you to find out that this idea of discipleship is folded into and implied in many of our key statements. Our mission statement, everywhere we go and in everything we do, we will invite everyone to follow Jesus. It is a mission statement about discipleship. From that, we have our vision, which is to see people's lives changed by Jesus as they follow him. And our purpose, which is John's account of the Great Commission, if I can put it that way, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Our purpose as a community of faith is to help one another to join in with courage to the plans and purposes of God, to restore the world in Christ Jesus through the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. This is foundational for us. And can I just say, somewhat as an aside, when we participate in this activity, we are on the path to the most fulfilling and satisfied life that we can live. If you consider, for example, the model of Jesus, the pattern of Jesus' life, Jesus came to be fully human, and his entire life was basically one of doing the will of the Father. And when we go and do what Jesus has called us to do, we are doing the will of the Father and therefore are in line to experience all the fulfillment, all the contentment, all the satisfaction that we were created for. This is foundational not only for the church, but it is foundational for our very lives, our hope, our meaning in life. But the second thing I want to remind you about is that this commission is for everyone. Let me draw your attention again to how this starts in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples. And if you kind of read through the Gospel of Matthew, by the time you get to chapter 28, you know that there should have been 12. But one of them, someone who had walked with Jesus for 3 years, who had been one of his closest companions, had betrayed him and then taken his own life. The 11 who are left, we know, because we've just read the story, are all of them deserters. All of them deserted Jesus when he was arrested. And Peter, who stands amongst them, denied him. Denied him 3 times, after denying that he would deny Jesus 3 times when Jesus told him that he would indeed deny him 3 times, making his denial not 3, but in fact 4. And then notice the detail that Matthew includes for us. When they saw him, verse 17, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, I don't know what the technical number is for some, but it suggests to me that it's more than one. This is not just Thomas, who's Matthew is kind of throwing shade at, right? We all know that he doubted. I mean, it says some doubted, and the only people that Matthew places at the scene are the 11. So some of the 11, more than one of them, were full of doubt or had questions about what was taking place. Just think about that for a moment. It's to these men, deserters, doubters, deniers, who had nonetheless walked with him for 3 years, that Jesus says, go, make disciples. If you and I can't find ourselves in that invitation, I don't know how much more of an invitation we need. This is something for everyone, for you and for I, regardless of how equipped we may feel for it. And here's the thing. For such a foundational exercise, in 2020 in particular, what came into focus for me was that we could do more in this space. About disciples in word, but not quite as much as in deed. You've heard me say this before, but I think a lot of how I would describe our discipleship has been DIY. We assume as leaders that you are doing it for yourself. And I know that many of you are. Many of you have long established patterns and rhythms of personal disciplines to be in the word and in prayer. I know that many of you are here to be able to learn more about the scriptures, that you read widely, that you listen to podcasts to understand the word and grow in your ability to apply it to your life. I know that many of you serve as an expression and an extension of your relationship with Jesus, as a commitment to the kingdom of God. Some of that service is in our community of faith and some of it's outside of it. I know that many of you are committed to either a life group or other ministry teams or groups of people who keep you accountable, with whom you can wrestle with faith, with whom you can have spiritual conversations. And I know that many of you, in the hard times that we all face, that you go through those with a framework that enables your faith to grow. I know that many of you are doing it for yourself. But if this is so foundational, if this is such a fundamental aspect of who we are, I think we can do better. One of the images that I feel has kind of defined my call to ministry, my understanding of what it is that God has called me to, was an image that I feel the Lord gave to me many, many years ago now. And that was of a vineyard that where all the vines were just lying on the ground. And the vines that were on top of the piles were growing some fruit. But as you can imagine, it wasn't nearly as mature or as ripe or as full as it could have been. And it was obvious what the vineyard needed. It needed a trellis system. It needed someone to drive some stakes into the ground so that the vines could grow up on them. And I've always felt that one of the fundamental calls on my life is to drive some stakes in the ground. Stakes of good teaching. In my role now, processes and systems and ministries and leadership to help focus our priorities and our resources on discipleship, on helping people grow up. And my commitment to you this year in 2021 is to do all that I can to strengthen our infrastructure, to focus our resources, our attention, our priorities on being about discipleship, not just in word, not just in our mission statements, but in everything that we do. And the commitment that I want to ask from you is that you would participate with us in that process. Now, this is a little bit tricky for me. I do not in any way, shape, or form want a cookie-cutter type of discipleship where we all have to look exactly the same and all do exactly the same things. And I certainly do not want to undermine or subvert or distract you from the rhythms and practices that you have developed in your own life that sustain your spirituality, your growth in relationship with God. But I would love for all of us to, from time to time over the course of this year, join in what we are doing together. That we might do some things all at the same time. So one of the things that we're hoping to do is to develop and release some discipleship activities, discipleship resources that line up with our various sermon series. Now, I'm not suggesting that you all do that all the time, but I would love for all of us at some point in the year to have a crack at them. Give us some feedback about how effective they've been, about how they've helped you. If you've got other ideas, flick them to us so that we can begin working through some really significant resources, some stakes in the ground that all of us can grow up on. So without abandoning what works for you, I'd love for you to commit to joining together. That instead of a discipleship model that is do it yourself, where we all do our own thing, that we would do it together. That we would all of us begin to do the same things at the same time. And this is ultimately because of the picture that I have in my mind about what this could mean for us. Imagine if we all began to walk in the same direction. Imagine if we all began to do the same sorts of things and as we followed after Jesus. Imagine if we began to use the same sort of language to talk about how we followed after Jesus. Imagine if all of us were focused in the same direction, aligned in all that we did. It would begin, just like that whirlpool, to create a momentum that would sweep people, us included, closer and closer to Jesus. And if I were to think about our community of faith right now as a swimming pool and our discipleship within it, it's mayhem. We are all in the pool together, but we're all doing different things. Some of us are playing Marco Polo. Some of us are swimming laps. Some of us are seeing how long we can hold our breath. Others of us are diving underwater, pretending that we're a dolphin or something. We're all doing our own thing, and it's a lot of fun. It's great. But imagine if we could all begin to move in the same direction. Imagine if we could all decide that we're all going to begin to align what we do together to follow Jesus, not on our own, but together. All of us, every one of us. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to align. It's going to be hard to kind of do some things together. It'll be hard to experiment and try some things and evaluate and see what works for us and avoid a cookie cutter mentality, but still do stuff together. But imagine if we could begin to move that way. Because what I would love to see is a community of faith where it is almost impossible for someone to join us and not get closer to Jesus. So that if someone comes to just one playtime event on a Tuesday morning in first term, that they would leave a little bit closer to Jesus because everyone involved is moving in the same direction. That if someone were part of a connect group, when we're finally able to hold those, and we engage in some sort of activity, some sort of purposeful kingdom building activity in the community, and they join us for that, that they would leave that event a little bit closer to Jesus. that if people were part of our Sunday services, whether online or on site, for 1 week, 2 weeks, a term, a year, that they would leave closer to Jesus. Not because we had done some amazing things or that they had done some amazing things, but that God had done some amazing things as we were all moving in the same direction. I think there's a wonderful sense of momentum. The opportunity for people to drop into our community of faith and be swept closer to Jesus. So that in everything we do, and everywhere we go, with everyone that we meet, we would invite them to follow Jesus. And as we do so, we'll be fulfilling the foundational command that Jesus left us. The command that is ultimately the only place where we will find hope, meaning, purpose, contentment, and satisfaction in our lives. If you've been missing those things, this is where to find them as we take up the life that Jesus has invited us into. And as we do this together, we have the opportunity to create such a momentum that each of us, laughing along the way, will be drawn closer and closer to Jesus, deepening our faith, deepening our relationship with Him. Go, make disciples. This is our theme for this year. I commit to you that I will do all that I can to help us align together to begin to walk towards Jesus. And I ask from you that you would commit to walking together with us so that disciples are made, created, developed, deepened. This is our theme. This is our vision. This is the command from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me read these words again. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you to the very end of the age. Discipleship is the fundamental task of the church, and one which allows all of us, doubters, deniers, and deserters, to step into the fullness of our humanity. I believe that we can do much more to develop a culture of discipleship as a community of faith, all moving in the same direction, and that when we do, we will create an irresistible current that will sweep us all closer towards Jesus. Thanks so much for joining us again this week. And don't forget, you can join us for Sunday services at www.gbconline.org.au at 9:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time. And you can visit our website at gamiabaptist.org.au for on-site service times. Until then, God bless.